In 1999, a slightly disturbing young man declared that we are soldiers of hell. We are neither soldiers nor from hell, but like obedient little sleeper agents, we have gradually recruited people from popular culture to create a military force to be reckoned with. Each episode, we'll be nominating someone new to join our ranks.
The last time we spoke on air was on air.
In the air was Phil. Last time
we discussed the forthcoming Flash movie, right?
Yes, we did.
And it's here.
And this is it. It's here. And we're going to go and watch it. We're going to watch it together. This is the first film we'll have seen together since The World Is Not Enough.
No,
at the cinema.
You have to be joking. It can't be.
I don't think we've been to the cinema together since
what, this millennium.
I don't think we've been to the cinema since the last millennium.
People are going to question our friendship.
I don't know. It must be.
Yeah, maybe it is. That kid can't believe it.
I know. He's obviously distressed by the mother. Sorry.
Maybe Pierce Brosnan's tenure hadn't even come to a close.
So now we judge our cinema trips in Bond tenures. So two Bonds ago, we went to the cinema.
How many Batman ago?
17?
Yeah.
So I'll see you in 30-31 for the next time we go.
So let's just... I'm just going to...
We're busted.
Stick a spoiler alert right at the start of this. We're going to discuss The Flash. If you haven't seen it and you don't want to know what happens... I'm obviously not going to spoil it for you now. I've seen it.
I've not seen it yet. Yeah. I'm really quite excited about it. More excited than I think any DC film.
Is that because of Keaton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keaton. I'll tell a lie. No, The Batman I was very excited for and I really enjoyed it. This is the sort of first DCU film.
First connected movie, not in its own.
Let's just say I've had my fingers burnt by the DCEU.
I think everyone has.
I've got to the point where I've barely got fingers, but I've had my toes burnt by the DCEU. I'm really looking forward to this. It's got a lot going on.
You're not cautiously optimistic anymore.
No, I'm not.
I'm
just optimistic.
Hang on. Cautiously optimistic. What's the opposite of that?
Wantonly
pessimistic.
No.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Keaton.
Yes.
I'm looking for. See, this is I think there's going to be people in it that I don't know about.
You're going to start saying stuff that I'm going to have to maintain a poker face.
I think there will be surprise. I don't want to say cameos, but people that turn up. That's a cameo. I think there's going to be people in it that aren't widely known prior to release being in it.
You're mistaken. Actually, the soundtrack is by Cameo.
No. Mow. I think every character is going to have a codpiece. And if they don't, it's a crying shame.
David Bowie turns up as well. Right, so go in there. As you know, you don't know much. Go in there, leave your expectation at the door, and just.
I'm just going to sit and enjoy it. I've watched a few superhero films recently, so I'm sort of in the mood for it. I watched The Suicide Squad,
right,
which was all right. Not as funny as it thinks it is.
Nope.
All right. I've watched obviously Guardians 3, which I thought was really good.
Haven't seen that yet.
Quantumania, that was all right.
Haven't seen that yet.
I watched them. I think, considering the flack that Ant-Man is getting versus the praise that Guardians 3 is getting, they're not that dissimilar in either visuals or tone, I don't think.
Right.
So it's just, it's a popularity contest in some ways. But yeah, so I'm really looking forward to this. Really looking forward to seeing Keaton. Really looking forward to it. I mean, I've mentioned it to you in a message that when the main line of a film's trailer is a different superhero, The main feature of the Flash trailer is someone saying, "I'm Batman."
Amazing. Right. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Let's go.
And as quick as a flash, it's over.
Oh, very topical. Initial thoughts then. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. Much better than I thought it was going to be.
Best DCEU film?
Yes, easily. I think they've got... Oh, it's such a shame. It's as we were just saying a minute ago, the last one. Because it feels like they've just sort of worked out how to hit their stride, how to strike the tone. Yeah, good. Very good.
Definitely feels like the end of that. Like, they're going to properly reboot it now.
Yeah, because... We've given a spoiler warning, haven't we?
Yeah.
Right, because I can't see them legitimately carrying forward the DCEU with George Clooney as Batman.
No.
Because, right, so in summary, we end up in a situation where the Flash is in what we assume is a third universe.
Yes.
Based on the Batman effect.
Yes.
In which George Clooney is now Batman again. And in fact, has always been Batman. Aquaman is asleep in a puddle. And the rest of everyone else is as yet unconfirmed.
So, if causality is like it is, and it ripples backwards and forwards in time, by creating George Clooney Batman, we have Ezra Miller to thank for Chris O'Donnell doing ninja clothes drying.
Oh, that was that. That was Val Kilmer, wasn't it?
Oh, true.
I think that was Val
is
Kilmer.
Val Kilmer is... Because in my head, Val Kilmer and George Clooney are the same Batman. But maybe...
I mean, they're the same Batman. It depends how you... There's so
oh,
many
God, is it just another spaghetti
there's
strand?
There's so many different ways to view the Batman films now, because...
Originally, I thought Keaton and Kilmer and Clooney were the same.
The same Batman.
Yeah.
They were bonding it.
Yeah.
They were the same character, just played by different people.
Yes.
That's fine. We all know what that is now. But now we've got an actual third Keaton Batman film.
Yes.
Which is definitely the end of Keaton Batman.
Yes.
Which means that we now have to view the other Batman films as not reboots or recasts, just completely separate universes, which means we now have a canonised Arnie's Mr. Freeze.
Yes. Oh, you got.
Oh my God. Ah, wheels within wheels.
Got the Flash to thank for that. Okay, I think we need time to digest.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, and we'll deconstruct this.
Yeah.
And
I need time to pick at it.
Yeah. Oh, if I could be bothered, I would actually draw. I would map out the DC universe as we know it with all these spaghetti strands. I would literally draw the spaghetti strands and put the things on it.
Yeah, because we can now.
Yep. And where they cross over.
Ah, my head hurts.
Okay. There you
right,
go.
I need I've got a long drive and a lot to think about on it.
Yes. I think you're going to tie yourself in knots. Well, good luck with that.
Yes.
We'll catch up soon with when you've digested that spaghetti sauce. You've had time to deliberate, cogitate, and digest. And
yeah, I've also done a bit of ruminating, which was good. It's a good job I had a room to do it in. I've sort of exposed myself to a bit more media around the Flash now, a touch. Now I'm spoiler free.
And has it changed your opinion at all, or are you still feeling like it's the best DCEU film?
It is definitely, in my opinion, the best DC film. I still really enjoyed it. I suppose it's like a lot of superhero films. They seem good at the time. You come out, but then you start sort of... You pick at the threads and the niggles start to come and you think, was that... Like, was the bad guy in it really
the best bad guy they could have got for that. It seems a bit Power Rangers-y, if you know what I mean. The purpley guy with all the future version of past Barry.
Yeah, with all the
future past Barry,
adamantium Barry, or whatever it is, whatever it is,
kryptonite.
But in this movie, you've got Supergirl getting stabbed and killed multiple times with whatever weapon it is that Zod is wielding. So whatever that material is can penetrate a Kryptonian skin.
Right. Now, this is a rabbit hole. Okay, so my initial thoughts are that it's a Kryptonian device, therefore has been made for Kryptonian anatomy, and therefore it stands to reason that it would be capable of penetrating the epidermis of Supergirl. However, I have it in the back of my head that we are led to believe that Superman and therefore Supergirl get their powers not by virtue of just being Kryptonian, but because of the effect that the Earth's sun has on them, and that the radiation from the Earth's sun is what makes them superpowered. So whilst on Krypton, under the Kryptonian sun, they are effectively just normal people.
Yeah.
And therefore, the weapons from Krypton that can kill them or stab them on Krypton shouldn't be able to do the same thing on Earth, because they are now powered by the Earth's sun, whereas the weapon, being a non-organic material, can't be powered by the Earth's sun, and therefore should now not work.
That's my take, yes. Which, I actually haven't seen that in anything I've read. I haven't seen that as a plot hole, so I think we're just adding to the list now.
It's nice to be the first for something, I suppose. of all the plot holes, that's not the biggest, but I think we've discussed this before. If you take it, once you start picking any of these films, you can totally unravel them. If you watch them and enjoy it for what it is, it's fun. And at the time of watching it, it was fun. And you're right, it was a good, funny, genuinely laugh out loud film at points. First and foremost, before it was a superhero film.
Yes. So I'm going to mention... So I only really have one major niggle with it, and it's not a major niggle really, it's just, it is minor actually. It's just the post credit scene was pointless, and I wish it didn't exist. I wish it would, just because it feels like that just exists just to say, oh, by the way, there's an Aquaman film coming this year, like, that's, remember this character, like, that's all that exists for.
And strictly speaking, that Aquaman isn't the same Aquaman that's in Aquaman, because that's the Aquaman of the George Clooney Batman world.
Yeah.
Not the Affleck world.
So will the Aquaman that we watch be a prequel to The Flash, or will it be set in that world? Or will it just be Aquaman, a case of now... Here's a film in it, you know. It doesn't matter what world it's in, it's just another world.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? That's the question, isn't it, that we're going to have to wait to be answered. I liked, the general tone of the film. The more I think about it, the more I really, really just thought Michael Keaton was amazing. Just he's so effortless.
He's so watchable. Just, yeah, he's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I would have loved to. I'd love to have seen more of him, I think.
I think they did a good job of, because obviously a lot of the stuff of him doing action will have been a stunt person. But I think they managed to get the balance right between here's the character that you've seen many years ago, but he's still capable, and but your expectations of action in a superhero film now is heightened from what it was back in the late 80s.
Yes.
So it still felt like it was him. It still felt like the way he did move back then, but was heightened enough to not feel dated.
Yeah, his style was always quite a stilted fighting style, quite jerky, probably born out of the necessities of the suit at the time.
Yes.
And I really liked it. I suppose I could say I wanted to build more of him in the film. But if I'd have gotten more of him in the film, it would have started to take over, I suppose. And yeah, I just wonder how they draw a line under the DCEU now. Do they just sort of hand wavy go, forget that, never explain it, and give up on trying to tie it into whatever continuity comes later? Because Flashpoint was obviously used to reset the DC universe. So we all expected that's how it would be used in this film. And it was, but not in the way we expected.
I thought whatever universe he comes back to is the universe that we would then continue to see in the DCU. But I think you're right. The more times pass, the more I think it's just going, yeah, that's over now. Now we're off into a new universe that you've never seen before. And actually I hope that's the case. I am ready for them to draw a line under that. And I think they need to. I think they were hedging their bets slightly, hence the Aquaman cameo, and hence them being quiet on Aquaman's future. I think they want to wait and see, because they have the benefit of time here. So I think they'll wait and see, does Aquaman perform well? If it doesn't perform well, I think that is the end to all those incarnations of those characters. If it performs well, if it performs as well as the first one did, they'll go, okay, this is only us. This character is a $1 billion character. We need to keep it. So they'll keep that one going forward. But because of Ezra Miller's problems in the public eye, I don't think Ezra Miller will continue in role. Batfleck has hung up his cape. Cavill's already been stood down. So I actually think they're drawing a line under the whole thing, but they're just not wanting to jeopardize the potential of Aquaman.
The way that they have left it as well, it comforts me a little bit that Batfleck is technically still out there in the universe, in one of the worlds somewhere, being Batfleck.
Yes.
He wasn't killed, he was just left behind. And I like that.
What I find is that the more time that's passed, the more I'm gonna contradict myself here, because it was the most connected DC film yet in terms of numbers of characters, past and present, that crop up in it. And yet my overwhelming feeling from now on is I don't want a connected universe.
We've had what is arguably the best version of a connected universe already.
Yeah, and I don't think they should be trying to replicate Marvel anymore. Let Marvel be Marvel, and do your thing well. And for the big name characters, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, let them have their own movies and their own trilogies, or however you want to present those characters, even if it's just one-off Elseworld versions of them, I don't mind. But just make them the best that they can be, that take on the character.
Yeah.
Your second tier can live on TV. And they can connect if they want, a bit like the Arrowverse did. I don't really mind about that. But I do care about Batman, and I do care about Superman. And I don't want them to be sort of hamstrung by having to be tied into other properties.
I don't think Batman can be fully Batman when he's with the Justice League, because he will always seem less badass than he should be.
Yep.
I've not read enough Justice League to be fully versed if this is how it translates in the comics as well, but it constantly irritated me how overpowered Superman was to the rest of them, to make them pointless.
Yeah. You get that tonal issue, because Batman is dark, lives in the shadows. And then you've got Superman, who's the polar opposite of that. He is always hopeful, and that's his superpower more than his physical strength. And as soon as you put them together, one, if not both, has to compromise.
It's arguable that both compromised too much. I don't think Batfleck was as dark as he could and should have been. And the more I look back on the Superman fight suit, the more I think that looks like it's polystyrene, and it looks jokey. Whereas you had quite a jaded and grumpy Superman.
Yeah,
and yeah, the compromise worked to the benefit of no one.
No,
the big question about superhero films on everyone's lips, and I know he's playing at the back of your mind, is where does Blue Beetle sit in all of this?
I knew you were going there. That's where you're going with that. Yeah.
Have we been sucker punched? Is that it? Were we led to believe that Flash was going to be the big reset? And actually, they've had this up their sleeves, and they're going to come in there, and they're all going to be in it. That'll be the big crossover one.
What's confusing about Blue Beetle is James Gunn has said Blue Beetle is, he didn't refer to it as standalone. He said it's part of the new universe. But then he has also said that Superman Legacy is the first DCU film. And it's like, well, which is it, mate? Because Blue Beetle comes out first, so surely that is the first one. I know, I guess the point he's probably making is I didn't write that one, or it didn't come under my umbrella, but I'm going to hoover it up because it's standalone and it doesn't have any of the other characters in it.
Yeah, I think that's probably what he means. Or maybe he's talking like sort of chronologically that Superman Legacy is set before Blue Beetle, therefore it is in the way that Captain America, the first Avenger at the time, was the first, if you're looking at when it's set. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It feels they're just going to sort of retcon that into the new universe. But my big problem is he's got like a 10-year plot arc here. And Zack Snyder had a 5-story plot arc, but they panicked after 2 films and then screwed it up and didn't let him see through that vision. What if James Gunn's first couple of films tank, they're going to have to course correct again, aren't they?
There is every chance that they will. I just don't know that. Do we still? I'm not convinced we still exist in that sort of billion-dollar film world right now. Because all you hear, all you tend to hear is films doing poorly or doing underperforming, and it's in a world where we've had Endgame and we've sat through a 10-year, you know, build up to a massive payoff. Can people be bothered with that again?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a case of they've seen it and they've seen it done really well and they don't need to. And I think Sony's proving that Spider-Man doesn't need to be part of a picture either. Like they're doing the animated ones and doing them really well. So, you know, you don't have to be part of the interconnected thing. You mean you can say you're interconnected, but they don't have to have every character cameo in every film.
Yeah, you don't wear it quite so on your sleeve.
Yeah, maybe that's the answer. I don't know. Who the heck is going to watch Avatar films? Because that's the anomaly in all this. Like, new Avatar film was a $2 billion movie. And who went to watch it? I don't understand.
I had zero interest in going to see Avatar 2. Like, I could not give a monkey's about it. I don't know who went. I don't know anyone who went to see it.
No.
I don't know anyone who cares about going to see it. And I think you'll find, if you haven't got the same opinion as me and my friends, your opinion doesn't count.
That's it, isn't it? It's, yeah, our bubble. Our little superhero bubble.
Blue Smurfs that defend the life force tree is where it's at, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Absolutely bonkers.
And are there like three more coming or something stupid?
Something like that. I mean, you should be, yeah, if anyone should be trying to, I mean, that falls under Disney now as well, but if anyone should be trying to copy a franchise, don't try and copy Marvel, try and copy Avatar.
It's time for a rank. What shall we call this feature? The Soldiers of Hell rank off? Come rank with me? Strictly come ranking? Maybe just a load of rank.
I'm just not convinced that franchises hold the same sway that they did 5 years ago.
No. But and it seems like everyone expects every franchise to outperform itself. And yeah.
Which is a shame, because there are genuinely good films out there in the franchises, but it just seems that it's a less dividends now. I mean, no one is going to argue that Phase 4 and 5 is Marvel's best work.
No.
The DCEU is, well, faltered and fell flat, and arguably some of his best work has been his least rewarded.
Yeah.
I think you're right that they just need to focus on do the best version of that character that you want to do and do it well and commit to it.
Yeah, that's what I want to see. And if in your mind canon you want to connect things, you can, because everything is connected. The Flash has said that now. There's a multiverse and there's, you choose what spaghetti strand it's on and that's it.
In fact, that is, if we were going to do a wish list for The Flash, and this is possibly my final thought on it, the biggest, best payoff in The Flash would have been don't have it as CGI, you've already paid for his image, have the actual Nicolas Cage there as Superman at the end.
Yeah.
That would have been a real treat, I think, rather than, oh, there's a PlayStation character that kind of looks like Nicolas Cage. That's sort of my final thought on The Flash, I think. But do you think CGI in general is, I don't know if it's just that we're used to CGI now, and so we're starting to see the cracks a little bit more, instead of just sort of like, ooh, ah, that's amazing. Or have they noticeably cheapened what they spend on CGI? I'm not sure.
I think it's a bit of both. So I think, from what I understand, the industry is overwhelmed with requests. So where you used to get a studio would have its own special effects house, now there are hundreds of or thousands of special effects houses around the world, and all the movies outsource certain scenes to different special effects houses. But they put them under immense pressure and tight deadlines, and probably don't pay enough, and therefore you get variable returns even within the same film. Because if you use The Flash as an example, some of the effects in that film were amazing, and some of the effects in that film were awful. And it's no further than
MODOK.
Oh God, yeah. Having watched that since we watched The Flash, I have seen Ant-Man Quantumania, and terrible. It just looks like a 1990s video game, like a Windows 95 game.
I genuinely cannot work out why they felt the need to get Bill Murray for that character.
No. Yeah.
Just very odd. Weird. But there we go. So, that's the world we live in.
That's it. We've seen The Flash. We've seen Michael Keaton back on screen. We've seen various cameos. I was satisfied. I am happy with that. But I want something new moving forward. That's my take.
Yes. I've had my big Sunday dinner of superhero interconnectedness, and now I need a little bit of a palate cleanser afterwards.
Yes. Yep. Very good. Well, there we go. Next time we discuss, but let's try and not leave it another 2.5 decades before we watch a movie in a cinema together again.
Yeah, that would probably be advisable. But we can do that now. We've found a location, and we can hit it.
Brilliant. Right, good stuff. Okay, that's it then. I guess the Flash is our character for this month, and we'll see you next time.
Soldiers of Hell is a Fosgate Studios production. If you enjoyed it, please like, subscribe, comment, and share.